Warren Buffett, not hungry for Cadbury.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Kraft Foods submitted a new takeover offer this morning for the British goodie maker Cadbury. This is not to the liking of a very influential Kraft shareholder. Billionaire Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, says it's voting against the deal. Also voting against the deal, Cadbury's executives. They basically told Kraft, yes, we know you have a lot of cash now. You just sold your Tombstone frozen pizza business to Nestle for billions of dollars, but we still don't like your offer. Marketplace's Christopher Wirth picks up the story from London.
Kraft is expected to use the proceeds from this sale to increase its offer for the British chocolate maker Cadbury, which currently stands at $17 billion. John Cox is with Kepler Capital Markets. He says this is an indication of just how serious Kraft is.
I think that the tide is really changing in Kraft's favor. Now, in the next couple of weeks, they can still increase their offer to get a deal done.
For Nestle, buying Kraft's U.S. pizza business could be a good move. The U.S. market is worth $37 billion a year. Nestle will get DiGiorno and Tombstone brands. Given the recession, analysts expect frozen pizza sales to stay hot as more and more people opt for a quiet night in rather than going out or calling the delivery guy. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Investors also seem to see the tide turning in Kraft's favor. Kraft shares are up almost 3%. Elsewhere on Wall Street? Well, the S&P 500 is up 0.2%, the NASDAQ up 0.1%, but the Dow is down 12 points at 10,571. Also mixed this morning, the economic news. The National Association of Realtors said pending home sales fell sharply in November, but the government reported U.S. factory orders posted a surprisingly big gain. European shares are also mixed this morning, and Asian stocks were higher today. Later today, we get a look at December auto sales. The experts are predicting an increase, even without the help of cash for clunkers. But Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson says life still looks tough for the auto parts supplier.
The suppliers are the companies that make the seats, the lights, the transmissions, all of the 10,000 or so parts that make up a car. They've been hammered by the collapse of the automakers, and now they're getting sucker punched by their lenders. Neil DeCoker heads the Original Equipment Suppliers Association, which represents auto supply companies. He says no one wants to lend to businesses associated with the auto industry.
The money we need for our working capital to run our plants, to buy materials, to pay employees as production starts to increase, is difficult to get. And a number of suppliers could actually end up in bankruptcy because of lack of available financing.
DeCoker says suppliers have already cut costs as much as possible by slashing staff and reducing salaries. But he says after a terrible 2009, the worst is probably over. With demand for cars and trucks coming back, suppliers should find it easier to convince lenders that they're more valuable alive than dead. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
From cars to planes, Mesa Air Group has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company's operations include flying regional routes for major airlines like Delta, United, and U.S. Airways. Mesa says it wants to get rid of extra airplanes and get more competitive.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Since the crotch bombers' attempt to blow up a Northwest flight on Christmas, airport security is tightened. But one thing hasn't changed. Officers can still search and even confiscate your laptop at the airport or when you cross the border. If you didn't know that, you're not alone. Marketplace's Elisa Roth says most companies don't know it either.
Most of the time, having your bag searched at customs isn't a very big deal. But flipping through files on your laptop or scrolling through contacts on your smartphone? For a lot of people, there's so much personal or corporate information on those devices, that's more like having the government poke through their desk drawers. Since at least 2008, the government's allowed border agents and other officials to search the contents of laptops, smartphones, even MP3 players. In fact, any kind of electronic equipment. Larry Schwartzthal is an attorney. He was part of a team at the ACLU that's been fighting the rule.
The potential invasiveness of these searches is on an order of magnitude greater than the traditional border searches of luggage.
Schwartzthal says the rule violates the right to privacy. For one thing, the officer can search your device even if he doesn't think you've done anything wrong. And he or she can confiscate your stuff indefinitely and copy everything on it. You'd think that corporate executives be freaking out about potential security leaks. But Richard Crum says most companies don't seem to know the rule exists. He's president of the Association of Corporate Travel Executives. He says the cost to businesses could be substantial.
Depending on the amount of time, the delay of a deal, maybe not having critical business information that you need in order to conduct your business, it could be quite an enormous cost to individuals and to the businesses that they work for.
It could be companies just don't think there's much of a problem. The government says it's only seized around 1,000 laptops so far. Crum says companies generally won't talk about their experiences because they don't want to call attention to themselves or admit to the stigma of having one of their laptops confiscated. But companies stand to lose a lot more than face. Vanessa Shera works in the customs division of the law firm Holland & Knight. She says once the government gets hold of proprietary information, there's no way to know what might happen to it.
It's more a concern about the fact that if a laptop has company sensitive material on it, do we really want U.S. enforcement border officials looking at that and asking questions?
Shera says she tells clients to travel without a computer or one that has nothing on it and then access the data they need once they're at their destination, which is what critics say a terrorist could do, too. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, who owns that contented expression? A restaurant chain called Eaton Park has trademarked a sugar cookie with a smiley face on it. A cookie maker called Crumb Core is also selling little happy biscuits. And though they do look different, Eaton Park says not different enough. They've filed a lawsuit. And now both the companies have mad faces. Join us online. Every Friday, I squeeze the week's business news into a 60-second video poem called The Marketplace Minute. That's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.